This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes, a podcast series based on the book Wonderlust, written by Julie Woods, that's me, illustrated by Ron Esplin, that's you.
Oh, yes, hello.
In these seven 10-minute episodes, we are going to visit the seven wonders of the world through the paintbrush of Ron Esplin and the sensory diaries of that blind woman, Julie Woods. This is episode 3, and 1-3 is the Colosseum in Rome, Italy. Buongiorno, Ron.
Buongiorno.
And can you please describe to the listeners the painting that you did of the Colosseum?
Yes, well, the Colosseum is the largest amphitheatre in the world, and it remains so. And it would hold 85,000 people. Now, how do you put that on an A3 piece of paper and give people the idea of the immensity of it? Well, I approached that by using the perspective in such a way that it kind of stretched out on either side to give you an idea of the size of it. And then the people are absolutely minute that are around it, so that you can see that in fact the difference in size and the dimensions of the Colosseum are exemplified. I always like to put figures in, and that was one way in which you could actually use it to your advantage.
Every day I am away, I keep a sensory diary of one thing I smell, hear, taste and touch. My sensory diary entry for the day we visited the Colosseum in Rome, Sunday the 2nd of September 2012. Smell, pastries in the street. Hear, our guide Marco saying you can take the lift. Taste, margherita pizza. Touch, the 56 steps I walked up that had been walked on by thousands of Romans for hundreds of years before me. And we visited the Colosseum, Ron, in a group tour, and that was our guide, Marco, who determined that I wasn't going to walk the steps but instead take the lift. And I said to him, no, I take the stairs. And he said, no, you take the lift. And I said, no, I'm taking the stairs. And at that moment, an American woman tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around and she said, damn you. She said, I was going to take the lift. Now I have to take the stairs. But how else is a blind woman going to experience the wonder of the Colosseum unless I take the stairs that had been walked up by thousands of Romans for hundreds of years before me? And it gave me a great insight into the magnitude of the building that you've just talked about, Ron.
Well, yeah, that's right. And, of course, imagine 85,000 people. That is a huge amphitheatre. And that is what the Colosseum was. And, in fact, I think they used to, it was so big, they could actually fill the amphitheatre with water, and they could hold battles with ships on the water. That's just how big it was.
Oh, goodness. It used to have three levels, but it now has two. Is that correct?
I understand you're right there, Julie, but we took it a lift. No, we'd not have taken the lift. We took it a stairs.
We did. Yeah, and the 56 steps must have been the two levels.
Yeah.
It is colossal, which I guess is how it's got its name, built in 89 CE and built really to entertain the people, which was something that I'd never really thought about, that entertaining the people was something that was important to the people who ruled the people, because I guess that kept the people happy.
And sadly, a lot of the entertainment was killing people.
Mm.
So I suppose that's the way they got their kicks back then. They called them gladiators, of course, and the reason they're called gladiators was that gladius is actually the Roman word for sword. And so these guys carried swords, and they used them to devastating effect against one another.
It's quite frightening to think that that's the entertainment. I guess we watch crime and things nowadays, don't we, on TV for our entertainment? It would be an equivalent?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
What's your memory of around the outside of the Colosseum?
Well, I've quite a number of memories, not the least of which would be a few characters dressed as gladiators. but, of course, their purpose is not to allow us to see what a wonderful uniform they used to wear and to add some colour to the Colosseum. It was to make sure that if you took a photograph, they managed to extract some money from you. And I must admit, I didn't get that. And I wondered why these gladiators were chasing me after taking photographs.
But that, of course, is something that's not unique to the Colosseum. That happens all around the world, everywhere you go, people dressing up and wanting to let you pay to have a photograph taken. So the Colosseum is no different. I remember the goddess of victory, Nike, where there was a statue outside. Is it the Forum?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I've got some memories of that outside. We left the Colosseum and at night we had pizza and I had my first margherita pizza at a caravan place across the road from the Hotel Diana where we stayed. And, oh, my goodness, I fell in love with margherita pizzas from that moment on.
We've often referred to the buildings, how they were carried out, the construction. And again, it was just stones, huge 20-ton blocks. And how did they lift them? That's what people wonder about. And they used enormous tree trunks and joined them together with a wheel at the bottom so that they could balance the weight of the tree trunks against the weight of the stone blocks that they were putting into place. Where there's a will, there's a way, and certainly as far as the Romans were concerned. It was actually called the Flavian Amphitheatre. It wasn't the Colosseum until much later.
I think you could say that that's why they are wonders. How were they built? How did they get to be? I think that's a common question that we ask. You could say that about certainly the Great Wall of China and Petra and the ones that we visit to later. How were they? What a feat of engineering, weren't they, that is indeed wondrous?
They were, with minimal tools, but certainly an understanding of levers and things like that. No machinery to speak of, but using the weight, balancing one side and on the other, whatever it is they wanted to move it.
And, of course, pastries in the street, the smell of beautiful Italian pastries permeated up my nostrils constantly. And for me, that was the smell of Rome and the smell of the Colosseum and all those memories that you experience.
And, of course, your cioccolata calda.
Ah, yes.
Which you had later on, which is a hot chocolate. The calda puts us English out of the understanding because we think that's cold, but calda, in fact, is Italian for hot.
So that must be confusing when it comes time to the taps, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't that a French as well?
I know they do, yeah. C for should, which is warm.
Things that blind woman no longer has to worry about, you see. There is an advantage. Okay. Grazie, Ron. Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for joining us as we visited our third wonder, the Colosseum, as part of the podcast, Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes with Julie Woods and Ron Esplin. To contact Ron, you can email him, ronesplinartist@gmail.com. Or to contact me, julie@thatblindwoman.co.nz. You have been listening to podcast 3 of 7. We look forward to you joining us for episode 4 next time. And grazie. I'm that blind woman, Julie Woods, proud sponsor of 7 Wonders in 70 Minutes. The World in 360 Minutes is a sound project containing 36 10-minute episodes taking you across the globe. We started with the first series, Around the World in 80 Minutes, and then 7 Wonders in 70 Minutes. In these podcasts, we explore what we see when we travel, me through my four senses and Ron through his paintbrush. You can check me out, That Blind Woman Julie Woods, at thatblindwoman.co.nz or ring me on 021 913 513. Why not?
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.